peace, love. Don't forget hope and joy. But those are so easy words, aren't they? I mean, those are the words that just kind of flow out. But what do you think it would really look like? Oh, I like the way you think. Why? Why? Okay, chaos is a good... Why would it look like chaos? But it would upend all of the systems and the institutions in a way that we might not even recognize afterward. We know for sure a couple of things that it would look like. We know for sure that the poor would be invited to the banquet table. You remember several parables he told. One was particular that the king had invited all of the guests to his feast and they didn't show up. And so he sent his helpers out into the villages and the city to bring in all of the poor so that they could be seated at his table. That's what the kingdom on earth would look like. We read about all of the billionaires in the world. Now, it doesn't seem like having $1 billion is such a big deal anymore, does it? Jeff Bezos, I understand, is the richest single... He's the richest man on the planet, okay? And he's worth something like $131 billion. Well, it sounds like a lot of money when you say that, doesn't it? Think about this. Think about what that would translate to. What is kind of the upper edge of poverty income? That if you're above this, you're not really in poverty. If you're below it, you sure are in poverty. It's somewhere around $30,000, isn't it? Something like that. Well, I did the math. Jeff Bezos, $131 million. How many would you guess it would make of the people that were not poor, but were certainly not wealthy, that were making $30,000, $35,000, $40,000 a year, that kind of hanging on? How many of those people would that number support? 100? Oh, yeah. Would it support 1,000? Yeah. Would it support 10,000? Yeah. Would it support 4 million people? Yes. 30,000 times 4 million is $120 billion. So he'd have $11 billion left over. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating taking Jeff Bezos' money, okay? I'm just making a point here that within the kingdom of God on earth, the poor would be invited to the banquet table. The kingdom of God on earth would ensure that the law of love is the law of the land. How would we define that, do you think? How would we define that? The law of love would be the law of the land. I think it sounds pretty good. I actually made that part up. What does the law of love say? What does it say? As I've loved you. And what is that? And how do we figure out how to love one another in that way? What is the rule, I'll give you a hint, for loving each other in that way? Yes, what's called the golden rule. What you would not have done to you, put in its negative, don't do to anybody else. What you would have done to you, do unto others. Can you imagine the change, if we could just tweak one little part of one gene in everybody's brain, that would make them automatically uphold the law of love. You know, the story of creation in the Garden of Eden and the eating apple and all that. That's what that is about. That is about learning how we got free will, isn't it? It really is. It's a story of free will. They decided their way was better than the way that God had presented to them. We have been given this awful, wonderful gift of free will. So instead of planting that one little gene code, we wouldn't do that, would we? Because that would undo free will. I think the kingdom of God on earth will come at a time when people finally realize, one by one, by ten, by a dozen, by a hundred, by a thousand, by a million, by 7 billion, that treating other people the way we want to be treated is better for everyone. So what's the lesson here? Do what Jesus says and get rich? Not necessarily. There have been people who have made a pot of money preaching. And I know I seem hard on those guys at times. And I say guys because they're mostly guys. But I read an article how one of them, in order to pick up his mail, he had to ride his golf cart out to where his mail was delivered because his property was so big that held his $19 million house that it was too far a walk. Oh, poor thing. Oh, no. Do what Jesus says and get rich? No. Do what Jesus says and get fulfilled. Perhaps material wealth will follow. Perhaps it won't. But it won't matter if you're fulfilled in your life. But living your life by the law of love that Jesus preaches will bring you that fulfillment. It will bring you a full life. It will bring you a joyful life. It will bring you a meaningful life. And that's our goal, is it not? That really is our goal. Every person is in search of meaning in their life. Leading this life that we have been offered by the fisherman from Nazareth can fulfill that life. And then Simon took a look at his own life that day in the boat. And he said, "Oh, get away from me, Jesus. I am way too sinful for you to be around. Get away from me, for I am a sinful man. I am way beyond any help that you might offer." And the real good news that Jesus brought to Simon and to Andrew and to James and John and Philip and Nathaniel and the rest of them that he brings to us is no one is beyond redemption. I have had one of the wonderful opportunities of the ministry is that I have had the opportunity to see that lived out in so many lives over the past 40 years. People who would come back from circumstances they didn't know they had the personal strength to come back from and lived a better life for the experience. Once I was lost, but now am found. You know, I've shared and won't share with you again my own personal story that, you know, people ask me now when they see me eating too much ice cream. And I say, 31 years ago this October, I gave up whiskey. So now caffeine and sugar is as good as it gets. I'm not going to deny myself a certain quantity of either one. But there was a time 32 years ago when I would have said with Peter, Jesus, get out of my life. I'm not worth it. What did Jesus tell Simon on that boat? The four most important words: do not be afraid. Fear causes us to freeze in our tracks, doesn't it? They don't say deer in the headlights for nothing. It causes us to freeze like a deer in the headlights. To lose focus, to lose confidence, to lose faith. Jesus turned Simon's fear into faith when he said, do not be afraid, follow me, we've got work to do. Loosely translated, we've got work to do. Amen.